Open your Bibles with me. We've got time to spend a little more time in the Word, don't we? Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 1, please. Now, we talked about from Psalm 50 and from Haggai 2:8 and Psalm 115, 14, 15, 16, that God, well, let's read this from Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, for him. Amen. God created the earth. And then he put his man Adam in it and gave him dominion over the whole thing. It was created for Adam. Amen. And then Adam committed high treason, and we know what happened after that. And then the devil was, for until Jesus came and stripped him, then he was operating in the earth with Adam's authority over the earth. Now then, tonight, I want us to look at the fact. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Poverty and debt are under the curse of the law. When the Bible refers to the law, it's referring to the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. The curse of the law was the punishment for breaking the law. The blessing of Abraham was the blessing that was functioning by covenant between God and Abraham. So, in the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and let's begin with the very first verse, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord. In other words, do what he said. So he entered into covenant, and he said, if you'll obey me, then the blessing of the covenant that I entered into with Abraham will come on you. The blessing was already there. God didn't have to go individually and bless each one. The blessing was already there if you would claim it by faith. It's yours, and I believe this. I see this. You promised to do this, and I'm walking before you accordingly, and I fully expect to be blessed. Hold your place there, and let's go back and look again at the 112th Psalm. We looked at it this afternoon. Some of you weren't here this afternoon. Psalm 112. Don't lose your place there in Deuteronomy. We're coming right back there. praise ye the Lord. Blessed, can you see it? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. He's not looking for a way to get out of it. He's looking for a way to get into it. Amen. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So now here is a man that delights greatly in the commandments of God. He's not looking for a way to get away with something. He's looking for a greater way to serve God. Amen. And he's excited about it. Amen. 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 And here's a man with a house full of wealth and riches, and his righteousness is intact. Yes. Amen. Amen. The blessing of the Lord. Okay, go back to Deuteronomy 28 again. These blessings will come on you and overtake you. Blessed in your basket and store. Blessed will you be when you come in. Blessed will you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies rise up against you and be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you one way and flee seven. Glory to God. The Lord will command the blessing upon you and your storehouse and all you set your hand unto. He'll bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen. So here is somebody that's walking upright before God. If God said, do this in his word, well, he just do it. And in doing that and going to the word and saying, well, I've got enemies coming against me here, but your word's on the line, Father. And if I've missed it somewhere, I repent. I mean, all you got to do is straighten me out. I'm with you, sir. I'm walking with you, but I lay claim and I lay hold to the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Now then, go with me to the 15th verse. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come on you and overtake you. So now here, the blessing was already there. Well, I got news for you. So is the curse. Look at the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19th verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life, that both you and your seed may live. So whose choice is it? It's our choice. Now, what is exciting to me in this verse of scripture, it's one of my most favorite in all the whole Bible. See, God's already made his choice and he's chosen you. He's put life and death before you. He said, take your pick, baby. But as for me, I'll bless you. As for me, I'll give you long life. But it's your choice. Now you're going to be some kind of mental midget to choose death. Huh? You got to really be slow here. I think I'll just go on and die. Well, I'm not. No, sir. Now, notice what else he said here. That you may love the Lord your God. He's made himself available for you to love. What's he done? He's already chosen to love you. That's part of the blessing. He's doing it because he loves you. See, from his side, Jesus said, anyone that comes unto me, I will for no reason cast him out. The meanest, doggiest thing that ever walked the face of the earth could cry out to Jesus and Jesus say, come on, come on, man, come on. I got a place for you. Amen. You know why? He's already dealt with your sin. Now you deal with it. Turn it over to him. It's already there for you. He's already done it 2,000 years ago. He went to hell so you and I don't have to go. Now, somebody else is already gone. I'm not going. I am not going there. Now, I want to tell you something about hell. You don't want nothing to do with it. God didn't create hell for people. He created hell for the devil and his angels. Amen. Not people. God has never, ever sent anybody to hell. What? You heard me. God has never, ever sent anybody to hell except Jesus. Well, I don't know, Brother Coleman, you go to hell for, lying, same as you will, stealing. You don't go to hell for lying or stealing either one. The thing that sends you to hell is not taking Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he's taken care of all the rest of it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your choice, my choice. Now, God created heaven. That's the reason it is so fabulous. The word says throughout eternity, he will be showing us the exceeding riches of his grace. Eternity is not big enough to handle it. And for eternity, you're going to be going, wow. Oh, look at that. Whoa. Oh. Can you imagine it? No. You get dry, you know. But I've talked to people that have been there. It is so amazing. It is so far out from anything that our little peanut brains can handle. I mean, it is so magnificent. He is so magnificent, my. And to think that he would have to do with the likes of you and me. Isn't that something? And that he loves us so much.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. But I'm going to tell you something. He also created hell. And as magnificent as heaven is, that's how bad hell is. No human can conceive of it. It wasn't made for humans. It's made for the devil. Until the end of all of this. And then the final judgment. And then they're going to sail him and all the rest of his bunch in a lake of fire and sling him out there into the forever nothingness to burn forever. I'm not going to be part of that.
Amen.
And as long as I got a breath in me, I'm going to be telling you not to be a part of it. Glory to God. We're going to be winning souls. We're going to be preaching this gospel. And we're going to preach it and preach it and preach it and preach it. And we're going to preach it. We're going to get old preaching this gospel. We're going to get so old, old people call us old, man. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, let me preach it one more. Hey, Lord, hang on a minute. Let me preach it just one more. I got my heart set on my departure out of this earth while I'm preaching the word someplace. I don't want to die in a bed. I want to die behind a pulpit. Glory to God. That's all I'm fit for. That's all I was made for. Glory to God. And I intend to spend the next 40 years doing it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I do love it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That you may obey his voice. Well, how can you obey his voice if you can't hear it? That just guaranteed you to be able to hear the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Well, Brother Copeland, he don't never speak to me. Really? Really? Yes, he does. Yeah. He is speaking to every living, breathing human being on this planet. And most are so spiritually dense, they don't know it. Even when they do hear from him, they still don't know it's him. They call it something. Something just told me. Well, who do you think something was? And as you begin to acknowledge him, it begins to be more clearly heard. But see, he says, you make the choice. There it is right there. You can make the choice. You can choose the blessing or the curse. You can choose life or you can choose death. And that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Now the New Living Translation makes this statement. For he is, not that he's also flesh, he is only flesh. And his normal lifespan shall be no more than 120 years. Now you have to understand, the people before Jesus was raised from the dead, you couldn't be anything but flesh. Nobody had gotten born again, but you couldn't until Jesus went to the cross. But we're no longer just flesh. We're no longer mere men. We're born again men. We're spirit, soul, and body now. Amen. That, according to God, is the normal lifespan, not 70 or 80. When God said in the 90th Psalm, 70, 80 by strength, That was never meant to be the lifespan for people on the earth. Lifespan should have been 120 years. But that disobedient people out there in that desert kept saying, he sent us out here to die. Oh, he sent us, he's going to kill us. We're going to die in this desert. 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 And finally God said, you're going to die in the desert. What else could he say? He'd already said 120. They said, no, we're going to die in the desert. And they did. And they moaned and groaned about it because it was a curse. Nobody got out of there older than 20 years old. I don't care what shape you were in. When the time came, your carcass fell in the desert. Amen. And 80 was the top of it. But what about Caleb and Joshua? Caleb was over 80. He said, the Lord has preserved me. I'm the same man I was 40 years ago. Glory to God. Give me the mountain here. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a man of faith. He believed what God said. Now then, I wanted to show you these things because poverty and debt. Let's go back over there where we were in Deuteronomy 28. Poverty and debt are under the curse of the law. Now I want you to notice, begin reading with the, let's begin reading. Look at the 29th verse. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in your ways, and thou shalt only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. 33rd verse. The fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation which you know not eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed away. 38th verse. And thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. You'll plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Let's read on down. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all your coast, but you'll not anoint yourself with oil. Thine olive shall cast its fruit. You'll beget sons and daughters and not enjoy them. They shall go off into captivity. All the trees and fruit of your land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above you very high, and you will come down very low. He will lend to you and you won't lend to him. He will be the head and you will be the tail. Can you see where debt is in that curse? Now, glory. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Now the curse is threefold. Spiritual death. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about physical death. And when you look the dictionary for the dictionary definition of death, it's not even true. Not in the light of the Bible it isn't. Because it says that it is the cessation of life. No. I don't care if your body dies, you're not dead. Whether you know God or not.
That's right.
Once a spirit being is released into the earth, it is impossible for them to ever cease to exist. A spirit is a forever being. Well, even the person that doesn't know God spends does time in hell. But then comes the judgment. And then comes the second death. Now, when Jesus comes and we are resurrected, see, he was born again in hell, but when he came out, he got his glorified body. Amen. Well, everything he got, we get.
Amen.
Amen. Our day is coming. And at the time of the resurrection, our bodies will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. So I don't care. I don't care if somebody died 1,500 years ago that knew Jesus. I'm telling you, that body is coming up out of the grave.
Yes.
The scripture says that body is documented in heaven. Amen. It isn't dead. But I'm telling you something else. The second death is the resurrection of those that died in Satan. Died in the devil without knowing God. And so their old, tortured, sick, rotten body will come up out of the grave and be reunited with that tormented spirit that just got spending all that time in hell, and they're going to be raised up and slung into that lake of fire. It's serious business, brother. It is serious business. But oh, glory to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for the blessing. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed from the curse. Back in the 70s when the first time I'd ever heard anything of back there then, it was the Hong Kong flu. Amen. And man, it hit with a vengeance. And so I called the kids in, the kids were little, and I said, now come on kids, we're going to take our flu shots. John's eyes got about that big. So we got around our big table there in the living room and got our Bibles out. Kelly got her Bible and John looking on with Kelly. John was about four, something like that. So we went over to the curse of the law and we found where it's listed fever, inflammation, amen. And then we went to the 61st verse and says, all sickness, all disease that's not even written in this book of the law will come on you and overtake you. So all sick, I don't care if they come up with something ain't nobody ever heard before, it's still under the curse.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Oh yeah, and we're redeemed from it. Amen. So we read about inflammation. And when we went over and read, we've been redeemed. And then we read, we've been redeemed from inflammation. We've been redeemed from the sickness. We've been redeemed from the flu. And then we read again, and we just bounced back and forth. We've been redeemed from inflammation. We've been redeemed from the flu. Thank God we took our flu shot.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Took that flu shot.
Right.
And we'd call the kids and I'd say, okay, now we're going to have the flu. No, Daddy, we don't have the flu. Glory to God. No, we're redeemed. We're redeemed from the flu. We're redeemed from sickness. We're redeemed from sickness and disease.
Amen.
We have the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Until we got that in ourselves. And we take a little booster shot now and then.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And in all of these years, the times that the devil would try to put the flu on one of us, and then there was a time or two I had flu symptoms one time for about 3 days. And I was in flight school in Wichita, Kansas, and all the symptoms of the flu came on me. And I'm telling you, I was feeling and looking doggy. Whoa. But I got a hold of the word and took my flu shot and just kept staying in those scriptures. Just kept up my training schedule and did some of the best flying I've ever done. And I got done and I still felt like somebody hit me with a hammer. But I'm not going to change what I say.
Amen. Amen.
No. Now, Let me show you something about this because we're going somewhere. There must be a point in time where you make the decision that at that point is when I begin to believe and I'll never withdraw my faith. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how I look. Or what I hear. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what I believe. Amen. Made that decision. And released my faith. That's it. I'm not going back. No, I put the word in my eyes and I put it in my heart and I said it with my mouth. I'm not going back. No, I'm not turning around and go back and say, well, I guess that didn't work. No. Do you remember, how many of you saw Rod Parsley's healing meeting On the 8th day of November of 2015, I was there in the church there in Columbus, Ohio. Did any of you see that television broadcast? That we had tens of thousands of prayer calls that had been sent in there. Just stacks. They're just a mountain of them, about as long as from here to the curtains over there, and about as wide as that, and from here over there, just stacked up the thousands and thousands of prayer cloths. And we were laying hands on them. Well, I was having some situations physically in 2-3 different areas. And I'd been looking towards the Lord. I'm looking at my healing scriptures and I'm reading these scriptures and so forth. And that night, we're walking around there. I actually laid down over the top of that stack of prayer requests and prayer cloth. And I stood up, and Brother Parsley was standing right here, and he was praying. I was praying. I had my target already going. I knew what I was looking for. Brother Hagin said, he went down to the full gospel pastor's house to receive the Holy Ghost. And see, he knew how to function by faith. And he said, they laid hands on me. And he said, I didn't hear a word they're saying. I'm listening for amen. Because he said, when they say amen, that's it. I got it. See, that's when he started believing, was right then. That's when he released his faith. And that's when he said, thank God I'm spirit filled. Well, you feel like it. What's the feeling have to do with it? It's a faith situation.
That's right.
No, he said, I'm spirit filled. And I fully expect to speak with other tongues. So he just opened his mouth and started.
Amen.
Amen. This is faith operation, not feeling operation. Well, I had my target in sight. And sure enough, while I was standing there, Brother Parsley, we're just praying. He reached over and laid his hand on the small of my back, right on the right spot. I said, that's it. Praise God. On the 8th day of November 2015, I took my healing. I released my faith. Glory to God. Amen. And according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, by his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
I'm healed. I'm healed. I'll never say anything else. I won't change that. No. Well, all kinds of things have been happening in my physical body. And just really good stuff going on. I'm getting stronger all the time. I found out that I don't have to do like everybody else. You can get old and weak if you want to. I'm going the other way.
Hallelujah.
Well, I mean, everybody's got to die sometime, but you don't have to die sick and you don't have to die till you're ready.
Right.
Till you and Jesus say it's time.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, now I said all that to get us over here and let you see that Jesus redeemed us from poverty. We don't have any business with lack. Now, we already learned this morning, we talked about it this morning, talked about it this afternoon. Everything that you will ever need in life, ever need or want beyond your wildest dream is already in the earth, and ain't none of it leaving. Because there's nobody going to take any of it with them. Amen? It's all still here. Amen. And this is a faith matter. Grace provided it 2,000 years ago, and it's time your faith took what belongs to you. So I want to step you through this now, and I want to talk to you about supernatural income. I'm going to give you some steps here. You might want to write them down. I suggest that you get the CD or DVDs of this and listen to it a number of times because there's so much here. Number one, decide on the amount. Decide on the amount. Most people don't know. Now there are people that do, of course, that pay attention to business. But the average working person doesn't have any idea what they have or what they need. They just take it as it comes and try to get by on it. And there's a lot of people that are spending a lot of money that they don't even need to spend, but they don't know they're doing it. They don't know that they could get it any less anywhere else. But there are people that can teach you that. Amen. There's a lot of people that don't know they could be out of debt, but they can. So you need to start digging into this and see not what I need, but what I should have in order to live well, in order to get out of debt, supernaturally break the power of this debt in my life. Amen. And get to that place. Hey, the word says if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Well, that means you ought to be driving the good, wearing the good, living in the good. Amen. God will not only supply your needs, he'll supply your wants. Oh, now, Brother Copeland, you've gone a little bit too far here now. So you don't know the 23rd Psalm, huh? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you get into him, he will satisfy all of that want and pull for things. Amen. So you spend some time. Where do we need to be as a family? Do we need a bigger home than this? I mean, what are the needs of this family? And figure all that out. And find out what that is. And then go beyond that because you need a storehouse. Said he'll bless your storehouse. How's he going to bless your storehouse when you ain't got a storehouse? Amen. See, what you're doing, you're prospering your soul. You're renewing your mind. I wish above all things, or I pray above all things, that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, you need to do some things about the poverty in your soul. Amen. When you get through with a tube of toothpaste, do you just suck the last? Get that last brushing out of that toothpaste before you throw it away? Will you please quit that? Come on, poor folks, you don't need to be doing that. No. When you open the cabinet of, oh Lord, 300 or 400 margarine molds come falling out of the cabinet. And all those little twisties that come off the bread wrapper. Whole drawer full of them. What are you going to do with that? Well, you might need that. If you hadn't needed it in the last 4 years, what makes you going to think you're going to need it this year? That's poverty thinking. And there are poor folks with money.
That's true.
And they're dangerous. Poor-minded people that have money are dangerous.
Amen.
Amen. But when you begin to renew your mind that God is my source. Amen. He is my source. Well, now, Brother Copeland, you know, we must not waste. We must hold on. Really? Oh, yes. Amen. Penny saved is a penny earned. Yeah, an opinion about all you're going to wind up with. He that holds tends to poverty. He that scatters tends to prosper. Amen. Now, Abraham had too many cows, too many camels, too many donkeys. The land wouldn't hold him. Lot had too many cows, too many sheep, too many everything. The land wouldn't hold them. Don't you think God knew they had more than they needed? How many times have you ever seen a monkey get in trouble because he wasted some bananas? No, God's abundantly supplied him. He ain't got no better sense than just eat them. Amen. A generous, loving God needs to get on our mind and stay there and realize that everything we need is in this earth, and I need to start planning, and I need to go before the Lord. What is it, Lord, that we need to do? I want to increase my giving into the church. I want to have money enough to be there when they start building something on this church. I don't want to be just sit back there and just pray about it. I want to be able to put $10,000 in this thing. I want to be able to help somebody. All the time. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound. You may abound. You may abound to every good work.
Yes. Amen.
And the pastor announces we're going into a building program. Well, I mean, you may have a couple of $1,000 in the bank. But you go to the Lord and he says, I want you to put $100,000 in this thing. You say, sure, yes, sir, I'll be glad to do it. Amen. Well, how are we going to get $100,000? Wow. I didn't know. No. Shut up. What do? You go to the heavenly process. You got your assignment. You know what it is. It's $100,000. Now, the first thing you need to do is you and mama agree on it. Oh, yeah, and get excited about it. Get started thinking about writing that $100,000 check. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you begin to pray, but you're not praying, oh, God, oh, God. No, 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 no. What am I praying? Lord, show us where to sow. Show us who we can help. Show us how we can get in the flow of this, because we're believing for what you've assigned us in this project. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So now I know the amount. So James chapter 1 verse 8 tells us then, from that point, don't waver. Don't be wavering. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. No, you settle in on this thing. You're satisfied in your heart. This is what God has for you to do. Glory to God. And this is what we're going for. Hallelujah. And think about this. My tithe is going to increase this year by 40% or whatever. Yeah. Woo, glory. Oh, this is already exciting. Man, I tell you, I love to tithe. I like the results. There's some serious side effects to tithing. Yeah, I tell you, glory to God. Now then, you decide on the mount, you're single-minded, and you stick to it. Our increase this year is going to be 40%. We're going to increase. We're going to double this year. Glory to God. Well, you settle it before the Lord. You set yourself in agreement. You sow the seed. Amen. Hallelujah. And now the next thing is agree that it's already yours. See, it's all already here. It's all already here. And it belongs to God. And if it belongs to God, it belongs to you.
Yes.
Now, the devil may have his hands on it, but we know what to do with him.
That's right.
All right. Some of you look at me kind of funny that time. So, turn to Matthew 18 and Mark 10. Matthew 18. The 19th verse, again, I say unto you, let's back up to the 18th verse. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you, any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Why? To carry out that agreement. Amen. All right. Now looking at Mark chapter 10. Look at the 29th verse. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that had left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, or wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. You ought to have houses. You ought to have houses. Paid for.
Yes. Yes.
No debt. And this is the way you get out of debt. What we're talking about right here. So, now, Mark 11:23, we know what Jesus said. Whosoever say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. So I begin to say this. Thank God. Thank God. Maybe it's a dollar amount. We were talking about that $100,000 a while ago. Let's say that the Lord has instructed us to do something like that, or whatever your decision and agreement is based on, that's what you begin to lay hold and claim. It's yours. Make the faith claim on it. Glory to God. If it's in this earth, God owns it, and so do you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know I received my 100,000. Glory to God. I received, when we stood on that word down there in Louisiana that time, and we stood on that word, and here we come up to the last day, and it's 900 short. My goodness sakes. $900 out of that little group of people. My, and the devil said, they ain't give nothing up to now. What makes you think you're going to do on the last day? Well, I can't be thinking that. I have to go back to my agreement. I said, no, Jesus can't lie. This can't not come to pass. It's done. It's coming to pass. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't care how he does it. He'll come by it honest. We ain't changing this. I just keep saying it. Well, Brother Copeland, what if that meeting had ended and you hadn't got it? I'd be saying it till today. 40 years later, I'd still be saying it till somehow or another it came.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Failure's not an option here.
Amen.
Amen. And the stronger you get on it, the stronger you get on it. Glory to God. Now then, what are you doing? You're doing 1 Timothy 6:19. Look at it. Oh, we're getting close. We're getting close. We're getting close. Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, there's some dynamite stuff in the sixth chapter. I want you to look, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You didn't hear me. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I had the Lord ask me one day, he said, Kenneth, do I give you things to meet your needs? I said, oh, yes, Lord. He said, no, I don't. What? No, he said, I don't. I said, well, you said you supply our needs according to your riches and glory. But yeah, but he said, that's not why I give you things. He said, I give you things richly to enjoy, and they meet your needs.
Praise God.
I got a fresh new insight into who he really is. He is my Father. And he's interested in things. Now, the scripture does say, through the Apostle John, love not the things of this world. He didn't say you couldn't have them. He said, don't love them. So why are you doing that? Brother Copeland, I don't do that. Really? That wasn't you that said, how do you like my new suit? Oh, I just love it. Uh-oh. I just love my new car. He gave you that car to enjoy, not to love. Let's do a little house cleaning here. Amen.
Amen.
Said, Brother Copeland, you too picky. No, I'm in training. I'm getting strong. Amen. And I got new cars. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. I don't owe anybody any money on any of them. Amen. Hallelujah. But now you also have to be ready for this, because one morning here just a few months ago, I woke up real early that morning. I got up and went on in the living room. I was in there just praising and worshiping God. And I was praying for a friend of mine who's on television. In fact, he's on the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. And I was just praying over him. I watched his broadcast the night before, right before I went to bed. And I'm just excited and praying over him. I decided I'm going to call him later on in the morning because I want to tell him how much I liked his broadcast. And I'm just praying and walking around the room. And the joy of the Lord come all over that room. And I'm just having the biggest time just praising and praying for him. And I'm just going. And I said, Lord, I tell you what. I think you ought to bless him like you did me and get him a brand new bright red Escalade. I think you ought to do that. He said, I think you ought to give him yours. Yeah, I said, yeah, hey, there's an idea. Glory to God. Then I couldn't wait till it got late enough for him to wake up where I could call him. I called him and I said, man, I want to tell you something. I sure did like your broadcast last night. He said, thank you, Brother Copeland. He said, I didn't know whether, he said, I was troubled about that broadcast. I said, I want to tell you something, man. That's one of the best things I ever heard. And don't you let the devil bug you over that. I said, I appreciated what you did. And I said, I was up praising God for you this morning. And the Lord told me to give you my red Escalade. He said, what? I said, yeah, man, it's brand new. Glory to God. I got a whole lot more thrill giving that to him I did when I got it. Man, I'm dancing around the room. Glory said, what's the matter with you? I said, I just sold my new Escalade. Glory to God. I got another seed in the ground. Hallelujah. You get over in the giving, you get over where you give for a living, man. I mean, that's my job. That's what I do. When Gloria and I go to the cafeteria for lunch, it usually costs me around 125. Oh, yeah. If there's a policeman in there, if ever I find a policeman in a restaurant, he never pays for his food. Never. And I get extra money and put it in my pocket. Cause I know, particularly if it's on Sunday, there's going to be a bunch of preachers in there on Sunday. And I'll walk in there, and sure enough, the Lord will say, see that fellow over there in that blue suit? I said, yeah. Go over there and give him $100. That's what you need to be ready to do all the time. Yes. Anything, any good thing any man does, same shall he receive. Yes. Years ago, the Lord said, I don't want you to ever tip less than $5. Okay. Glory. So you go in and you buy a glass of iced tea for 75 cents and you leave a $5 tip. Now somebody said, that don't make sense. No, I know it don't to you.
That's right.
But it does to me.
Yeah.
I'm a sower.
Amen.
I'm a sower. I got seed going in all the time. A seed working all the time. Seed working all the time. All the time. Amen.
Amen.
And don't, you go into a restaurant somewhere and the waitress is a little sassy and ugly. No. Don't get upset with her. No, don't do that. Don't do that. If you're staying in a motel someplace, think about it. When you get ready to leave there, don't leave the towels just strewn all over the floor. See, we're prosperity agents.
Yes.
We're prospering people. We prosper them in their businesses.
Yes.
Amen. I'm thinking about the guy that owns this service station where I'm in the men's room in there. I'm going to just pull four or five towels out of there. He's got to pay for these things. You start to think on the God side of things. Amen. You start trying to help somebody, help prosper them in their business. Poor little old girl working in that motel room. Get all the towels together and at least stack them up in one place where she only has to bend over once instead of six times. What are you doing? You're prospering somebody. You're prospering them all the time. You're thinking about prospering them. Make something a little easier for them. You'll get to the place where everywhere you go, somebody is making it easy for you. Somebody's helping you. Somebody's prospering you. That's the way this works. Amen. And it gets some kind of good. I came home from a meeting one time. I'd been out with Glory. I'd been gone for days and I was so tired. I drove up in front of my house. And there's a yellow Mercedes convertible sitting in my driveway. And I thought, wonder who's in my house? Well, there wasn't nobody in my house. I said, where'd this car come from? And somebody said, well, so-and-so brought it here and said he's giving it to you. Yeah. I said, come on, what you talking about here? He said, yeah, they're giving it to you. I said, I went before the Lord. I said, Lord, I didn't ask you for that car. I said, what's going on here? He said, don't you remember in Deuteronomy 28, the first verse, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you? I said, yes, sir. He said, you just got overtook, boy. Now, it'll get to where it starts flowing like that. You're prospering. You're prospering in the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? But this is the way it works. But you can't go around griping at everybody. Well, I don't know why they had to do this. I don't know why they had to do that. You're over on the curse side and it'll come back at you. Now, here we are. I'm going to close this up. Now, God is not withholding from you. In this verse in 1 Timothy 6:19. 18th verse, they do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life, that you may lay hold on the power of God when things turn and you need action now. What are you doing? You're laying up. You're laying up in store. And Satan attacks you and you say, Lord, thank you very much. I've got seed in the ground here. I'm laying a faith claim on what I need here. Praise God. It's mine now, and I claim it. Oh, you mean you're one of those name it, claim it, blab it, grab it people. Yes. Yeah, I'm the one they named that after. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Yeah, I named it, claimed it, blabbed it, grabbed it, and I still got it. Glory to God. I don't preach myself plumb happy. Glory to God. Now then, here we go. Satan, I bind you. You take your money off of my, you take your hands off my money. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus, according to Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 18th verse. I bind you. It, and Jesus said, whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Now, that's not talking about heaven where God is. Ain't nothing up there needs binding. If it was, you couldn't do it. That's talking about the atmospheric heavens here where the demons and devils are operating. But you have to remember, there's more angels in it than there are devils.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Loose the forces of heaven. Hebrews chapter 1. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation? Loose the forces of heaven. Remember, all that you ever need is already here. Come on.
Amen.
Ministering spirits, in the name of Jesus, you go forth and you cause my money to come. You cause our faith agreement to come right now. Amen. Jesus has agreed with us in this. Now you go get it and get it in here. Oh, that is as real. That is as real. Amen. Oh, I wish we had time to spend time in this. This would take days to cover all that's in that one department right there. But that's their job. And the scripture says in the book of Ephesians that the manifold wisdom of God is made known to principalities and powers by the church. Your angels are waiting on you for command. You're supposed to find out the will of God in this situation and command them accordingly.
Amen.
If you're waiting on God to tell them, you're just going to wait from now on because he won't do it. He's turned it over to you.
Amen.
Amen. Good friend of mine. He pastored a church and they had a building, a new building, and they really needed some money and they needed it quick because the deal that they had, it was kind of this lease purchase kind of a thing. And in the meantime, over the several years that they'd had that contract, his property had gone up about five times. And they had it for $500,000, and now it's worth something like $2.5 million. And the people that the bank and people that he owed was hoping he didn't have the money to do it. They wanted that property back. They weren't going to give him an inch. Well, he'd gone to God over this thing, and he was in a hotel room. He was ministering in this particular town, and he was dressing, getting ready for the service. And he heard the front door of the motel room open, and he thought, Well, you know, they've given somebody the key, I guess, and made the wrong. And when he turned around to see who had just come in the door of the motel room, the ceiling just disappeared. And here were two angels, and they were so big and so tall, he said, if the ceiling hadn't disappeared, he said that their heads would have been at least shoulder and head out the top of the ceiling. They were so big. I heard Brother Hagin say the same thing about the Lord and his angel appeared to him one time. And God was teaching him what I'm teaching you now. And he said, I'm telling you, that's the biggest fellow I ever saw. Massive. And they're standing there. And he said, what are you here for? They said, we're here to help you get the money for your building. That's our job. He said, wonderful. And they're standing there ready like this. And he said, what are you waiting on? They said, the command. The command? They said, yeah, command us. He said, go. Well, the day came, they got to have $135,000 today. And they don't have any. He's walking the floor in his study, he and his attorney. The secretary came in and said, somebody out here you need to talk to. He said, I don't want to talk to anybody. Go out there and talk to him. You know, I'm too busy worrying here. You don't ever want to get into doing that.
No, sir.
You roll the care of it over on the Lord. Amen. And you start dancing and laughing because you got angels all over the place doing jobs.
Yes, yes, yes.
He came back in. He said, you need to talk to this guy. He came in and he said, I've heard you. He was in a jogging suit. He said, I was on my run. He said, I've heard you preach. And he said, I don't like you preaching. He said, in fact, you kind of frighten me. But he said, I'm out there on my run. And I got it awfully strong. He said, I just had to come straight here. And he brought him a check for $135,000. Now, who you think that was out there running with him that morning? It was those angels. It was those angels.
That's right.
Well, of course, they ran straight to the bank and stopped that foreclosure thing. Then a few days later, they were having a meeting there in the church and they had a guest speaker. And he's speaking and the man in the jogging suit was there. Not he's still in the jogging suit, but he was there. And the man doing the speaking, he don't know this story. And he looked at this man and he said, sir, you need to obey God. Well, my friend was standing over there saying, no, he's already obeyed God. No. But he didn't see him do that. And he said, you need to obey God. And he got up and came up there and said, yes, I do. Now, the whole contract was $500,000. He said, I brought $135,000 over here a few days ago, but he said, I realize now that I should have brought $500,000, and here is a check for the balance. Oh. Paid that building off. I know good and well that is my angel chasing that fella in that car and found me at that motel out there and brought that $500 check.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is also my angel that got that little yellow convertible. Hallelujah. Come on, stand up with me. Hallelujah. take hold of that for me, please? I know I've kept you long today, but dear Lord, how often do you and I get together? Amen. I'm telling you the glory in my life experiences for the last 49 plus years. And this is the way God taught us and trained us to administrate this ministry financially. This is the reason we've never borrowed money. We had a mandate from God, don't do it. Well, why is it all right to go to a doctor and it's not all right to go to a banker? I asked the Lord that and he said, Kenneth, when you go to a doctor, you don't have to make covenant with him. But you become the servant of the lender. Now, God intended for Israel to be the lender for that very reason. If they were the lender, then that meant the world had to come to God to get the money. But then they abused it and misused it and got in trouble over it. But now if the body of Christ was where we should be in the spirit realm, we should be the lender and be a righteous partner to someone. And the world would have to come to us instead of us having to go to the world. And I guarantee you, before you get any loan from me, you're going to hear about Jesus. You understand? Oh, yeah. Oh, there's going to be some serious Jesus talk before we get into any kind of loan deal here. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, follow me in this. Satan,
I bind you.
In the name of Jesus.
I exercise authority over you.
You come down from your place.
Take your hand off my money.
Take your hand off of my property.
You don't touch my life in any way.
In the name of Jesus.
Desist in your maneuvers
to keep from me what is prosperity, to keep from me the prosperity that belongs to me.
Stop it.
I bind you.
Ministering spirits.
I loose you.
And all the forces of heaven.
Go!
Cause my money to come to me.
I have made this faith claim.
I have sown the seed.
I have tithing rights.
And this $100,000 belongs to us.
Now you go cause it to come.
Father, I want to thank you.
That's mine.
And it's coming now.
I have it.
I believe.
I will.
I take it.
I have it.
I thank you for it.
And I forgive if I have aught against any.
That's the way you do it.
I said, that's the way you do it.
Now, right now, it may seem a little shaky to you because you've never done that before, but get a hold of the CD of this or the DVD of it. Listen to it over and over. Get in the scriptures and stay in them until faith comes. Faith comes.
You're looking at the things you need, the things you desire. You're looking at all this whole financial picture. Spend the time with the Lord in it. And the time will come and you will know it. Praise God, it's time to do business here. Hallelujah. Rob, you remember what Leroy Thompson, what the Lord taught him. How many of you remember Leroy Thompson? You know of him and know his ministry. Oh, what a blessed, oh man, he and Carolyn, oh, what great people. But the Lord showed him this in a grocery store. The guy in front of him said, well, you know how it is, money just goes. And Leroy said, oh, yeah. And he got out of the store and the Lord got all over him. He said, what business are you got saying money goes? Says you're supposed to be commanding it. Amen. Now I'm going to demonstrate to you. And those of you that know about this, you can go ahead and join me. Money come to me now. Money come to me now. One more time. Money.